welcome to Proverbs 31:30, Woman to Woman. This is Sharon Hoskins, and my guest today is Janie Ratzliff. Welcome, Janie.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. This is a treat.
Well, it's a treat for me, too. I am excited that you're here. I am excited to introduce you to the audience. I just want to go over a few little highlights of who you are and why you're here. You and your husband traveled overseas many times for his job for decades. And as you were overseas, that you helped missionaries in other countries.
Correct.
And you've adopted 7 children on top of your 2. And you have worked as a biblical counselor, disciple facilitator for His Truth Transforms International. You've worked for Well Wisdom Workshops. You've created those. Is that correct?
That's right. That is something that we created that was combining the physical needs of a person in conjunction with the body, the soul, and the spirit.
Okay, well, can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I'd love to. Okay. It really started out as an endeavor living out in Arizona in an area where just about everybody was over 55. There was still a lot of health concerns, even though you had that beautiful desert air. You still had a lot of health concerns. So having had a medical background, I developed, along with a registered nurse, what we called Wellness Wisdom Workshops. And we were not licensed, obviously, to do anything in the allopathic world, but we did set up a series of lessons regarding how to do things naturally. And had endorsements from doctors saying that we were doing exactly the right thing. And so at the very end of the physical part of it, I thought, well, we are 3-part being, and so we need to address the soul, the mind, will, and emotions, and also the spirit of a man. Uh-huh. And to our surprise, Sharon, the physical kind of got the back door. It was people wanting to know about their soul and their spirit and how it related to the physical and how there was hope if they could get their soul righted. And they started to express their concerns about their emotions, their depression, their hidden anger, their sense of failure, their sense of guilt. Some people 70 years old saying, I don't know who I am.
Oh, wow.
And so it was a surprising to us that there was such a need. So we incorporated some things that we had compiled in our biblical counseling and called it Truth That Transforms, and did that in conjunction with the Wellness Wisdom. Eventually, the great need was more for the whole person, and so we went more towards body, soul, and spirit than we did towards the physical. And continued that until we moved out of Arizona, although we did take that same teaching and we took it into Mexico. And what surprised us again is the Mexican people have got a lot of natural remedies that work. So we were able to learn from them as we taught them ours. We were able to also learn from them, and it was a very rich, rewarding experience.
How interesting. And so is this where the where you learned more about the center of the heart being the center of the soul mind?
I probably learned about it before that time. You know, I probably started to learn about it as a child, being an only child, no brothers or sisters, no family cousins. And we traveled.
Well, and I guess I should back up, because you do have a discernment for the heart and how God has given you a real desire for seeing the heart and learning about the heart and teaching about the heart. So just to back that up just a little bit. So as God taught you those things, that was...
It was as a child, and it has just been a continuing process. And by the way, I can tell you that process has usually been learned through failure. Doing it wrong, and then letting the Lord show you your failure, getting under guilt and having to deal with your guilt, and then having the sweetness of a sovereign God saying, no, this is the way I want you to see things. And one verse I was reading one day, and you know, they say sometimes when the Spirit is really speaking to you, it just like it jumps off the page. And Proverbs 4:23 just jumped off the page to me as a young woman. And it says, guard your heart, for out of it proceed all the issues of life. Now that means all the physical ailments. That means all the emotional needs. That means your belief system. That means your conflicts. All the issues of life. Well, you know, I like to bottom line things. And I thought, boy, if the heart is what is going to determine all the issues of life, I think it's about time I learn, because I'm tired of failing. And so I had to, first of all, find out what is heart. What is the heart?
Yeah.
And in the scriptures, you'll find that the heart really encompasses the total man. But God said certain things like, I don't look on the outward appearance. I don't look at all your performance. Yes, I ask you for to create. You were created for good works. But if your heart isn't right, then your works are not the works that I have required. So I had to go back and say, what is a biblical heart? What's a heart that God wants? And now 40 years later, I'm still learning what the heart is at deeper levels. And then I will say to any of your listeners today, if that excites you, great, because he will be faithful in teaching you. And then you get to be tested on what you've learned.
Ah.
And that's where the conflicts come in.
Mm-hmm.
And when the conflicts come in, we assume we're doing something wrong. And our old patterns want to go back and say, oh, I messed up again.
Yes.
When actually the Lord is gently, gently, compassionately teaching you through what I call the back door to success. And that's failure.
Mm-hmm. And we get so caught up in our failures.
Oh, they dominate because, let's fail, we were born with failures and we're quite comfortable with them. And the way we like to deal with our failures is to get under guilt, false belief, or we escape techniques. Have you ever known a shopaholic?
Oh.
Well, they're kissing cousins to an alcoholic. Escape.
Escape.
And the more money you have, the more elaborate you can make your escapes.
Mm-hmm.
But the heart still hurts because it's not rightly related to its creator. And so it can never know the joy. So if it has joy, many times it's a strained, I'm trying, and I'm going to be joyous.
Trying to be joyful.
I'm going to be joyous even if it kills me.
Yeah.
But it's to flow, because the Lord never strained. He was never stressed. Except perhaps at the Garden of Gethsemane. There it said he had some stress.
Yeah. So when you teach about the heart, what's the foundation? Where do you start?
Well, I have to find out, first of all, if the person really is in need. If you don't see a need that you have a heart problem, because you're blaming husband, family, job, career, and you've transferred that blame to somebody else, then the first thing that we have to do is to come down and find out that you are willing to say, I have a need that I can't handle. So when in our counseling ministry, people would say, I'm bringing my husband to you so you can fix him. Or I'm bringing my wife to you so you can fix her.
Uh-huh.
But the problem there is, if the spouse was not ready for a fixing, we would not take them. Because that is like a forced training. And that's not what the heart's going to respond to. So if they didn't have a receptive need, then that's when we said go back and we would give them helps to look to see when they had their need. And when they recognized their need, and many times it was in relationships. That's where you'll find your need, failed relationships. Men many times find their needs more in failed careers, because that's where they put such an emphasis. But once you have your need established and open the door and say, Lord, I can't do it because you told me apart from you, I could do nothing. So let's see how you want to run the show. So then there is a yielding. Then there are some principles that really do apply. And that is, what is your knowledge and understanding of who God says He is? Not your opinion of Him, but who He says He is. And then that requires some study in the Word of God. And many people don't know how to study. So again, we would help teach them how to study. There is a ministry out, Kay Author has, on how to study the Word of God. I'm sure there's others. Mm-hmm. But there is some systematic ways to study. But for us, you have to know who God says He is according to His mind, not your opinion. Then number two is you have to know who God says you are.
Oh, that's a big one.
And I can't find any place where He said you're a failure. And if He says you have guilt, then there's lots of ways to deal with guilt. Confession. Recognizing if the guilt is coming from a false accusation from the enemy. So you have to learn to have a heart of discernment. And the Spirit will give you that when you ask for it. But we're not an instant generation when it comes to the eternal. So you don't ask for it on a Friday night and expect to have it on a Sunday morning. Because He tests the heart. Is your heart really sincere? Is your heart hungry? Is it so hungry that it will do anything to know the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty as a person? Not as some thing out here in the distance that might be cruel or indifferent or started the world but then got off to doing other things. He's not to be known as your Father. And in fact, one word in the Greek is Abba. And some people even take the privilege of calling that Daddy. Now, I was never comfortable enough to say, Daddy-o, what's my problem? But I was comfortable enough to say, Abba Father, I'm your lamb, and I want to graze in your green pastures, and I want you to restore my soul. But I don't know how to let go of this thing, so I surrender. And oh, that's scary, Sharon. That's scary to surrender your will to somebody who you have never even seen the color of their eyes. But you're going to give your whole life over to this person. And you've probably never heard them talk audibly. But they're going to be the chief person in your life. Your heart better know where it's going if you're not going to get taken into deception and disbelief.
So the foundation of it all is realizing you have a heart problem.
Realizing you have a problem. And the hope of that is realizing that for every heart problem you can encounter, there is already a solution available to you. And if you are a believer, living within you, it's already there. But learning how to appropriate it. One of the biggest challenges that we have in counseling is when someone comes in for counseling and they know they've got a problem and they want help, we'll ask them, are you in a church where you're getting fed? Well, yes, I am. Well, have you talked to your pastor about your problem? Yes, I have. Has he given you counsel? Well, he has, and he's given us the Word of God. So then I would say, then why are you here to see us? Because we don't know how to apply it.
So applying those scriptures.
Yes, and even in Ezekiel it says, I applied my heart to know wisdom. So teaching people how to apply the heart, especially when it's hurting and when it's in a crisis. How do you remain content when you're living at a pain threshold of about 7 to 8, whether that's a physical pain or an emotional pain or a spiritual lack? How do you apply that in the pain? Well, there's ways that the Lord Jesus has made provisions, but it does require faith. But you know what, Sharon? Faith is a five-letter word. I believe it is. F-A-I-T-H. Yes, five letters. And that's all it is. It's a word until it is tried. And then it's in the trying that it becomes life. And the Lord just quietly said, my people must live by faith. So learning to live by faith will take a lifetime of lesson and then a different lesson, and then he'll give you a new challenge and your heart will soar, and then he'll give you a new trial and your heart will want to plummet. And then we need a balanced heart. And we need to appropriate these things so that our heart doesn't want to get calloused, or the opposite of faith is fear.
Yes.
And probably most of the people listening today could say, yeah, I've got a fear. I don't want to talk about it. But yeah, I've got fears. And so learning to accept those fears, acknowledge those fears. You know, I found a fear in me that I didn't even know I had just a few weeks ago. And I'm an old woman.
Oh.
But the graciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and his spirit to say, you see the need, you're dealing with the need, and so the heart stays joyous. Now, every morning I might have to say, I'm giving you this fear today.
Oh,
you
yes.
see, it's a constant dependence on him. Yes. It's not a one-time thing like salvation. It is a daily, daily walk with him, which is why he allows the testings, because he says, I want you to know me so well.
Yeah.
I want you to know me because there's all of eternity. And we want to, and I don't want to be too simplistic here, but we want to have a good time throughout eternity.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that, I know for me, it's about having that relationship so close. And a lot of times when we find ourselves in situations, we are more apt to draw nearer to God than when our heart is joyous, and it's in those fears and those trials and those hurting times that we draw nearer to God and we seek him more daily than we do if things are going well.
We grow in the hard times. We relax and get refreshed in the good times. But remember, Ephesians 6, the Christian life is really a warfare. And a lot of us are not taught that at the beginning of salvation, and we don't know what we're signing on for. But what we do know is that the one we're signing on with is sufficient and able, because he is the creator and the giver of all good things. And the enemy wants to bring in everything negative. And so one of the basics that we always deal with is, what is your final authority that you make your decisions from? For a lot of people, men and women, it's the emotions. I'm angry. I'm hurt.
Yes.
I'm wounded. I'm depressed. I'm this. I'm that. But it's all I-centered, me-centered, self-centered. And you're not going to have victory when self is on the throne, because the Lord says that's not the game plan that I created.
Yeah.
I created to sit on the throne, and we don't have two thrones in your life. We only have one.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to be occupying? Okay. So that becomes another thing. And one of the difficulties in realizing that you have an emotional base as your final authority is because you have a problem. You're thinking with your brain. And so you believe that you're thinking with your intellect. Well, all thoughts have an emotional response. And that's why in Philippians, he tells us, think on these things, whatsoever true, whatever of good report. Think on these things that are positive, because I'm a positive God. But we have a tendency to look at the dread and the fear of the unknown. And as soon as we do that, we just started playing on the wrong side of the tennis court.
Amen.
Okay.
Yes.
And then that has been a lifestyle since a child, because until a child accepts Christ, either as a child or a young person, that's the domination of their life. That's what controls them. And unfortunately, that started back in the Garden of Eden, and we haven't been able to get it corrected except by the blood of the cross and a life surrendered to the Lord. That's why the heart is so important, that we don't make our feelings our final authority, because then we'll never know victory.
Okay. Well, so what are some things that, if there's someone listening today and they say, you know what, I do have a heart problem. You know, my heart is hurting. My heart is aching. What steps can they take right where they're at to find some help?
Well, they can contact you, believe it or not, because I'm going to make some materials available through the Proverbs 31 woman at no charge, if they will contact you either by email or phone or whatever provisions you have, that we can start to give hope and encouragement. They don't have to outline all the gory details. Mm-hmm. They can just express their need. And then we could help supply some materials at no charge. We're working right now, Bob and I are working on putting together all the research of 40 years of heart, and we're wanting to put it into a PDF that could be put on the internet at no charge, to where people could go and just have lessons, and then eventually have an 800 number to where they could actually call and perhaps ask some questions where maybe they're still needing to have some answers. But okay, that if they're, a lot of people are intimidated in the church to be vulnerable.
People think of me?
And so they just work very diligently to be what I call PBAers, performance-based acceptance people. And as long as they think they're looking good to other people, then they cover the pain. But that's not solving the pain, and we need to get a solution, because Jesus Christ died so that we would not live in pain. We can live in victory.
Okay. Well, the website is www.proverbs3130ministry.com, and that's 3130, no dot dot between those for the website. And there you can find the email address. And so we will have that. It's not on there now, but we will get that on there as quickly as we can.
And something today, if I can just say in closing, there is a PDF free on the web now called My Heart, Christ's Home. And it is written in a storybook form that even a youngster would enjoy. And it's by Robert Boyd Munger. And so if somebody wants to start in this afternoon, they can get on the web, and it is Christ coming to live in your home and going through every room and seeing things that need to be changed.
So if they just Google
My Heart, Christ's Home.
My Heart, Christ's Home.
And PDF file. And there's several different churches and people, but it's written all from the same man, Robert Boyd Munger.
Okay.
And he is what I call one of the older folks. A lot of wisdom, a lot of comfort.
All right. Well, Janie, it has been awful good talking to you, and I really hope to have you on again. I think you're an encouragement. You're an encouragement to me, and I know you've been an encouragement to all of those who are listening today. So we've been talking to Janie Ratzliff today, and next week we will be talking to Ann Chambliss and Margaret Van Dyke about their mission trip to Guatemala. So until then, have a blessed week.